Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to two portions of Scripture, Psalm chapter 1 and also James chapter 3. Psalms chapter 1. Do you like encouraging verses? Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It's good to know that no matter what we're going through, the Lord is with us. The book of Psalms chapter 1, we'll read all six verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Wisdom was an important thing to the Jewish people. They realized that it was not enough to have knowledge. You had to have wisdom to be able to use that knowledge correctly. We probably all know people who are very intelligent and yet who seemingly are unable to carry out the simplest tasks of life. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. We ask, Lord, now on this rainy Sunday morning that our hearts and thoughts would turn to thee. And Lord, we thank you for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the strength that our Lord is willing to give those who will turn to him. And Lord, give us comfort during these days. And we ask it in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. If you would, the book of James now, chapter 3. As you know, we've been in James now for a number of weeks. Last week we spent quite a bit of time on the first 12 verses as we talked about the tongue. And we read how the tongue is set on fire of hell and how that it is a little member, but it changes the course of life. But wisdom is an important part of life. The Bible tells us, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This is wisdom. To be in the right place. To go away from that which is wrong and evil. Wisdom. The book of James, if you would, chapter 3, verse 13. It says, who is a wise man and endowed with knowledge among you? Who's a wise man? Now, we live in a day and age in which many would think and let you know that they are wise. But if they are contrary to the word of God, then they're foolish. The Bible clearly says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And so if you're going to have knowledge, you must begin with the fact that there is a God. That he is our creator God. That he is a plan and a purpose for each and every one of our lives. And it says there in verse 13, let him show out of a good conversation. A good conversation, that is his behavior. That is his lifestyle. Actions speak louder than words. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom, having a spirit of meekness. May I say this, that meekness is not weakness. Some people like to say, well, if you're meek, you're weak. No, it takes a lot of strength to be meek. Because by nature, we want to be top dog. By nature, we want to be in number one position. How do I know this? Have you driven lately on 696? None of us want to be followers. We want to be what? The leaders. Now, some of us are more aggressive than others. Right? Yes. Uh-huh. But meekness. Yes. Verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Bitter envying and strife, where? In your hearts. Bitter. It means mean-spirited, cutting, scornful, sour. Bitterness leads to envying and jealousy. And here it says, but if ye have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts, glory not. It is not something to be proud. Bitter. Do you know someone who is mean-spirited? I would dare say all of us know someone who is mean-spirited. Now, it wouldn't be any of us in here today, right? None of us would ever. Cutting, scornful, sour. Envying. If you look it up in the thesaurus, it means jealousy. Ill will, spite, rivalry, a desire for revenge. Envying and jealousy leads to strife. It leads to strife. Have you ever been envious or jealous of something or someone? Now you see, Pastor Paul, have you? Do I have to answer that question? Ooh. I've been jealous. I'd be envious. I have. I'll be honest about it. And it does me a world of good. In fact, it just lifts me up and I'm just so excited. Yes? No. Then why do we become envious? Why do we become jealous? Human nature? Sin? Who began by, well, not, they weren't created this way, but who became envious and jealous? Lucifer. He said, I will become God. I'll set my throne on the side of the hills of the north. I am going to be as God. Was he not envious of the Lord? And he started it. What did he do to Eve? He said, God knows that when you eat this fruit, you will become as him. And Eve said, well, it's not fair that I can't become like God. What did she do? She ate the fruit. She ate the fruit. What does jealousy make us do? Dumb things. Count on it. It makes us do dumb things. It makes us say dumb things. Envying and jealousy are not good for you or for me. Mark it down. It creates strife. It creates strife. Notice what it says. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts. Strife meaning conflict, discord, quarreling, and strife leads to deceit and even destruction. So bitterness leads to envying, and envying leads to strife, and the three of them lead to deceit. Let me reread verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. In your heart. Folks, guard your heart. Guard it. Protect it. Keep it from jealousy and envy and strife. Glory not when you have it. And lie not against the truth. Folks, we live in a world full of lies. People are lying to you all the time. It's election time. And everything you receive in the mailbox is the gospel truth. You don't think so? Would they lie to you? Absolutely. Yeah. Every commercial that you see on television, that's the gospel truth. Are you to tell me they'd pay somebody to make an advertisement to lie to you? Yes. Yes. Those magazines that you get at the grocery store, at the checkout line, and they look so appealing, and they have such a sensational headlines. Are they always the truth? They don't care what the truth is. All they want to do is what? Sell their magazine. And you know what they do? They sell them by the thousands. Those reality TV programs. Really now? You think they're really reality? They have 17 cameras and they're going to show you what they want you to see. Not really what's happening. See, we live in a world full of liars. But we're not to lie against the truth. Because the truth will set you free. Verse 16. But where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. There is confusion. There is confusion to those who are observing you. Your children don't understand. When there's envy and strife in your life and they see your actions, they don't understand why you're acting that way. You lie against the truth. And what is right? What is proper? Let's read verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above. Why is it when you're watching some TV program and someone is going to pray, they always look up? Because that's where heaven is, right? Isn't that where God is? I mean, even if they don't want to believe there's a God, they still look up? Yes. But every good gift is from above, right? It's from heaven. Anything that's good in your life comes from the Lord. But may I say this, there are bad things that come that God can use for good. They themselves may not be good, but all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. It is first pure. You can never be right with God if you are full of bitterness, envy, strife, and deceit. You agree with that statement? Yes. If you're not pure in heart, you can't be right with the Lord. That's why we need to pray daily and ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins. We need to ask Him to help us in our daily walk. We need to be pure. There once was a time in which we taught our teenagers to remain pure. Right? Abstinence we taught. Well, we can't teach abstinence now. We teach safe sex.
Yeah. What are we supposed to teach? Abstinence. Purity. We need to be pure. To be pure in heart. Because purity comes from where? From above. It's godly. It's godly. Adam and Eve were pure until they sinned. So we first have purity. Second, peaceable. Warren Wiersbe writes, man's wisdom leads to competition, rivalry, and war. God's wisdom leads to peace. Man's wisdom leads to war. God's wisdom leads to peace. Purity leads to peace. When purity leaves a church, it will take with it peace. So when the purity is removed, the peace goes with it. Why do you think there are so many people in our world today that are frustrated with life? Why do you think there are so many suicides in our world today? Because there's no peace. Because the Word of God is not part of their life anymore. They don't want anything to do with God, and so they're searching for peace and not finding it. They believe that money will bring peace. You know, I don't care how much money our government gives us, it won't give you peace. Because you'll never have enough. Because people are still asking for more, right? They want more. In fact, I deserve more. God gives peace. The government tries to give you some security, but it's not found in money. It's not found in our education system. It's not going to be found on CBC or ABC or CBS or NBC or Fox News or CNN. That's not where you're going to find peace. You're going to find peace in the Word of God. You're going to find peace in reading the Word of the Lord. You're going to find peace when drawing close to Him. Peace. Purity. May I say this? It is a serious thing to be a troublemaker in God's family. As we read last week, one of the sins that God hates is that one that sows discord among the brethren. Third, there's gentleness. Gentleness. Matthew Arnold says gentleness calls gentleness sweet reasonableness. It carries the meaning of moderation without compromise. Gentleness without weakness. Compromise. As Christians, we are told over and over again in our society that we must be tolerant. That we must compromise. I've given you this illustration on many occasions. If you open a can of green beans and all that's in there is peas, are you going to be happy? Control your wife. You messed up my whole illustration. You didn't hear what she said? She said she liked peas. But the fact of the matter is, if you go to your local grocery store and you buy a can that says green beans on it, what do you expect to find in it? Green beans. And if you open it up and there are peas, you're going to be disappointed, right? But what if the manager of the store says, well, you just have to be tolerant. I don't think so. You are going to take your garden and you dig up the dirt and you take out all the weeds and you plant tomato seeds. What do you expect to get? Tomatoes, correct? That's what you expect, tomatoes. If it came up Brussels sprouts, say it again, brother. Ugh. That's not good. When was the last time you put a raw Brussels sprout on your salad? You have to cook it, right? Roast it. Donna likes to roast them. Yeah. Last night, Donna, I don't know if she was hungry or what, but she cooked a zucchini and ate the whole zucchini. two? I mean, I don't mind a little bit of zucchini, but enough's enough. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, if you're going to Costco to get gas, do you want to have kerosene in the pump? What do you want? Gas. See, the Lord, we tell God, you got to be tolerant. You have to tolerate our sinful behavior because this is what we want to do. Isn't that what man has said right from the beginning? This is what I want to do, and you have to accept it? Does God have to accept it? No. No. See, I think one of the things that made America great is that its leaders and the founding people wanted a nation whose God was the Lord. Today, we don't want to make God the Lord. We want to make money the Lord. We want to make entertainment the Lord. And you know what it brings? What we have. Unhappiness, bitterness, envy. And it makes for a bad society. But from above, we have purity and peace and gentleness, compliance, meaning easy to be entreated. We'll listen, easy to work with and to live with. Gentleness, compliance. Man's wisdom makes one hard and stubborn. James chapter 1 verse 19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Is that how we are in our world today? Fifth, it means merciful, full of mercy. To be full of something is to be controlled by it. Mercy. And we are to be merciful. Let me ask you a question. When you go and you pray to the Lord, do you demand justice or do you beg for mercy? I heard a little bit of murmuring. Beg for mercy. Judgment. God is just. God is holy. But he's loving. He hates the sin. But he loves the sinner. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, if it was just justice, you would hear the gospel one time. And God would judge you on that one time. How many of you were saved the very first time that you heard the gospel? Anybody? First time ever you heard the gospel one time? Aren't you glad you heard it a second time? And a third time? And a fifth time? And an 80th time? Mercy. Mercy. And we are to be merciful. That's why we take the gospel to a lost and dying world, because we're showing mercy. A sixth, we find good fruits. People who are faithful are fruitful. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." In other words, they cannot help but see your love for the Lord. They can't help but see it. You ever been driving down the road and there are these people cutting the grass and they have a bright yellow shirt on or a bright green shirt? Boy, you can't help but see them, right? Well, as Christians, our actions should be that way. They can't help but see the fact that we love the Lord. By how we talk and by our actions. They can't help but tell that you are someone that has been with Christ. That's how they could tell the early disciples were those that were followers of Jesus by their actions. That's why they called them Christians. Because they acted like the Lord. Let us be fruitful. The seventh thought is to be decisive. The world suggests singleness of mind that is opposite to what the Lord teaches. We need to be decisive. Humanism and the world's philosophies are most often inspired by the evil one. The Apostle Paul wrote Timothy saying, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness." He said, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife, the what ifs of the world." Too many young adults today are being led astray by worldly thinking, not believing the truth of the Bible, because it takes strength of character to remain strong in the faith. You remain strong. 2020 began, and some people made New Year's resolutions. Is it hard to keep a New Year's resolution? It's hard, isn't it? We've all made them. In fact, we get to the point where we don't make them anymore because we can't keep them. They're frustrating. Let me ask you this. Should you resolve to follow the Lord day by day? We should resolve that. Now, is it easy? Not easy. Because we're in this sinful nature. You can be born again, but you're still living in this sinful body, right? It'll be great when sin has no more dominion over us. I've said it before, I look forward to not having stinking thinking. You say, you a pastor? You think bad things? Never. Do you believe that for a moment? Hush. They don't need your input. I've been known to have some bad thoughts. I look forward to the day where I never have those bad thoughts again. That'd be marvelous, right? Yes. But we have to be decisive. Decisive. We have to determine that we are going to remain strong for the cause of Christ. Now, right now, our Christianity really isn't put to the test very much. I mean, when was the last time you saw someone being burned at the stake for being a Christian? No. We don't. What if you knew they were coming for you? What if? What if there was the knock at the door and they came and they said, "We're told that you are a Christian." And they slur the words in a negative way and they make it sound like you're the lowest scum on earth. And you know if you say, "Yes, I'm a follower of Christ," that they're going to haul you away and put you in jail. And that if they give you something to eat, it's not going to be a steak. It's going to be moldy bread. And you know that there's going to be a form of a trial. And when you're found guilty, they're going to execute you. You better have something to stand on. You better be decisive. You had better decide before they knock on the door that you're willing to stand for Christ no matter the cost. And in our world today, it could mean losing a job or losing a promotion or losing friends because they don't want anything to do with you. Are you willing to make that stand for Christ? Are you willing to be counted for Him? Because the knock at the door may be very soon. Because we're seeing those today who want to tear away our right to stand for the Word of God. It's what many are doing right now. And the fact of the matter is, some people were worried that we couldn't meet here today because of the fact that our governor has said that 10 or more really shouldn't be meeting. I'm glad right now the churches can meet. But what if?
Yes.
What if they said? Yeah. So the fact is, folks, are we ready? Are we ready to stand for the Lord? Let's go to verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Can I say this? Our Lord was one that was peaceable. What'd they do to him? Huh? They arrested him and crucified him. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen to us, but it has happened down through the centuries. And in places in our world today, it is happening where people are martyred for the faith. The Christian life is a life of sowing and reaping. But I can say this, that everyone's life is that of sowing and reaping. What are you sowing today? Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Again, 2 Timothy 3 tells us, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be despisers of those that are good." Does that sound like today? Those who are despisers of those that are good. Proverbs 16:25, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." There is a way, that which is not of God, that leads to the ways of death. Folks, we're seeing it all around us. People trying different ways. But there's only one way into heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. There are not multiple ways. I don't care what the bumper sticker says about coexisting. There is only one way into heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 5:8-9, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Shall we stand together? 401 is our invitation song. Have you made your peace with Jesus? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Religion will not get you into heaven. Oh, there's lots of religion in our world today. But it will not get you into heaven. Your goodness will not get you into heaven. Because if you compare your goodness with the goodness of God, you are not pure. The Bible says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in comparison to his glory. The only way into heaven is through acceptance of the fact that you are a lost sinner, and that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Your willingness to come and ask for forgiveness and ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, at this invitation time that hearts may be touched, that the Spirit would move, and that, Lord, we would realize the great gift you offer, that of eternal life. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.